This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Yeah, just hats off because we had Father's Day and a big moment for one golfer who was all the way in the back of the pack, and he won his first major at the 123rd U.S. Open. Who is that golfer? Wyndham Clark. Congratulations to him. He beat Rory McIlroy by one stroke. Hey, hey, everybody, you know what I was doing. I was watching that on this Father's Day. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for joining us. You know, there were some interesting things that happened over the weekend, and of course, some of it has to do with the weather. So what was Father's Day weather like for you? For some, there was, you know, hundreds of thousands of people that were in the dark from Oklahoma to Mississippi because of heat advisories and because of gusty winds and crazy weather, like in Scranton, Arkansas, there was a suspected tornado that destroyed a bunch of houses or toppled trees onto houses, and no serious injuries, and that's the good news. But even the Louisiana governor, John Bel Edwards, had to step in and declare a state of emergency for north and central Louisiana because of those strong winds and severe weather that caused some of those power outages on Saturday. And on Sunday, you still had over 700-plus people without power, and not just altogether in Louisiana, but Arkansas, Mississippi, Texas, and Oklahoma. And it's these breaking temperatures that are cascading in so many areas over the central Gulf Coast that are producing damaging winds and hail and tornadoes. And those conditions and the risks of that causes all those things. And then plus the heat illness for people outdoors or in non-air-conditioned spaces, that's always the big, big worry. It's like I lived in New Mexico, and my friends in Arizona that are listening will relate to this because Arizona and New Mexico, you get into those triple-digit temperatures and you get that gusty wind. What else do you get? Fire. And Sunday was one of the hottest days of the year so far in Arizona. I know in Phoenix they were tripping it up to 110 degrees. And I'll tell you what, you had some critical fire weather across most of northeast New Mexico, too. In Tucson, Arizona, on Friday even, there was a bit of a large brush fire that shut down a big state highway on Saturday, and 83 reopened on Sunday. Luckily, no homes were in danger, in imminent danger anyway, because that's always that concern, obviously human life and property and everything else that can get gobbled up into all of that. So hopefully you had a great Father's Day, and now it's about Juneteenth. There are so many people that have off for Juneteenth as it is a holiday. So banks are closed. Don't expect any mail. The financial markets are closed for Juneteenth, which celebrates the end of slavery. And it was kicked into law officially just a couple of years ago. It is just now, like I said, it is a federal holiday, and it's the annual commemoration of the end of slavery in the U.S. after the Civil War. It's been actually celebrated by African Americans since the late 1800s, but it was signed into legislation in 2021, which made Juneteenth, which falls on June 19th, the federal holiday. And there have been like I said, lots of celebrations across the U.S. in the past, but it's Juneteenth Independence Day or Freedom Day or Emancipation Day, and it is something that, you know, started in many different areas. But in 1872, for example, there were a group of African-American ministers and businessmen in Houston They had 10 acres of land, and they created Emancipation Park, which was intended to hold the annual Juneteenth celebration. A lot of times now, it's, you know, in Atlanta and Washington, a lot of big cities have parades and festivals, or people just have backyard celebrations and whatnot. But the path to it being a holiday certainly took some time for that to happen. And some of that is because of Opal Lee, who was an activist at the age of 89, walked from her home in Fort Worth, Texas to Washington, D.C., and called her, you know, she's been called the grandmother of the movement to make Juneteenth a federal holiday. And she did it now into her 90s. I saw a really good interview with her on Ali Vesey's show. I happened to catch it when I was flipping around. And boy, is she sharp. If we could all be that sharp and live to be in our 90s. And she just had a purpose and had children and felt like, you know, I'm going to go bigger and make this something recognized. And certainly she had a lot to do with that. There's no question about it. All right. Other things that are happening and are being talked about, including on a stage overseas, we're seeing now that China is such a big play as to what our relationship is with China, especially China's relationship with Russia, and then Russian, obviously, the Ukraine situation. So Antony Blinken arrived in China yesterday, our Secretary of State, the first visit, by the way, of a U.S. Secretary of State to China since 2018. The hopes are high of trying to slow down the spiral of relations between Beijing and Washington. He met with China's foreign minister for 5.5 hours, and they walked together, talked at dinner, etc. Will anything come out of this meeting? Who knows? But according to the summary of what Blinken said, it's in his comments, or what he was going to really push, is that the U.S. is going to stand up for the interests and values of the American people and work with its allies and partners to advance the vision for a world that upholds international rules-based order. And you think about some of the grievances that the U.S. and other allies would have over what's happening in China. And, of course, some of that has to do also with the support of Russia, et cetera, in the whole war with Ukraine and their approaches to Taiwan and several other things, including when it has to do with export-import with American goods and intellectual property. And, you know, the list is definitely pretty long, I would say. Be interesting to have been a fly on the wall to hear that conversation and honestly how that conversation went. Meanwhile, entertainment-wise, because it is a longer holiday weekend for a lot of people, the movies, this is always kind of the movie time anyway, because you have so many kids that are out of school. At the movies, The Flash was the big deal this time around. There's some other big pictures that are getting ready to hit the big screen, including Indiana Jones, right? I think there were some disappointments, too. Elemental was a disappointment at the box office. Not as many people went to see that. The Flash was the big deal.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling 4-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these 4-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You, too, can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Survived Tomorrow. Steve Hunt is the author. He joins us now on Author's Corner here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Steve, thanks for coming on.
Well, thanks for having me, I believe.
Yep, absolutely. That's right. It's a two-way street. So let's talk about the book. Why did you write the book?
Well, I just kind of got tired of all the crap that's going on in the world. About the time I had gout and couldn't do much. So I got thinking about our two primary government parties acting like two rival football teams, not getting anywhere, you know. And society in general, you know, the color of your skin, your religion, your basic ideas. I don't like you because of those. That's BS. All the mass shootings that we have going on, the vehicles we have now with all the convenience garbage on them, they force you into that. I don't know. I'm a whiner.
I like that. I'm a whiner. But your book is a novel. I mean, you have characters in the book going through life, and so you've written a novel with We Survive Tomorrow. Tell us about the story and some of the characters.
Well, okay. To start with, AI did not help me with this at all. And there are no zombies or any other mutations described.
The year is 2088, right?
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
Okay. This is after we've had a nuclear war, which brings on volcanoes, which wipes out 99%+ of humanity and other critters. So this surviving group were expecting this, and they set up an area that they could live as the community. And the story evolves these people, how they survived, what they did to survive. But they had 2 years to prepare. So they had animals, fields growing, things like that. But they had to protect it.
It does make sense. So they protect it. And, you know, here's the thing. It's a love story, though. There's you've got everything in this, right? So just because things have changed, that doesn't mean everything's thrown out.
Right. Well, these are humans.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't changed that much. It just, whatever humans do now, they still do then, but not to that kind of extent. You know, like people grabbing a gun and go doing mass shootings just because they felt like it. That's more BS. We can do without that.
Boy, no kidding. Yeah.
Mass killings is just really not okay in my book, especially the way they're going. There is one scene where they are doing mass killing, the group, because a smaller group tries to take over, make slaves of them. So they do away with them. It's how they go about capturing them in the story.
And so, and we won't tell everyone everything, but you do, obviously, you talk about that. You talk about what happens and how different it would be. I mean, I like it how you kind of go back and forth to, wow, this is, in a way, it's just, when you process it, it's such a different world. But is it a different world? As you say, like, even in the very beginning, the very first day, you know, there's a line, it stuck out to me, where the one guy says, I'm Stuart from Denver, right? And I'm trying to find a place. I'm trying to find a place to try to survive, hopefully in peace. And, you know, I got a wife and a couple of couples, and that's how the thing starts. So when you sat down and wrote this book, was all of that kind of permeating in your mind, like, wow, what would that be like? And look what we've done to each other, and what would it look like in the future?
Well, kind of, sort of, yeah. Well, with most of the people gone, and the remaining few are in caves or whatnot, and the food is running out for them. But the ones that are surviving here in this new group, the story kind of revolves around the new group entering into this safe haven, I guess you could call it. They're just looking for a place that they can survive and be safe.
So when people read your novel, what do you hope they take away from it?
That humanity needs to get its head out of its butt and start being kinder to each other.
Mm.
Before we end up in a nuclear war, or that we can survive if something like that happens. Just got to be prepared.
Right. So we don't want it to happen, but if it happens, how do you survive? And it's the story that takes you, as you said, it's, these are characters, these are humans. After writing this book, will you write another?
I don't know. I've kind of thought about something about AI, but there's already so much controversy about that. I don't know if that would work.
Yeah, that's a big subject. And that would be part of who knows what happens tomorrow with that. Absolutely, for sure. And there's some twists and turns in this, you know, book. And as you said, it's a worldwide, it would be obviously a worldwide catastrophic event. And then there's no laws. I mean, there's the thing. There's no laws. There's no rules. Can you imagine?
Well, these people set up the rules and the laws, but there are no police per se.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would
be. Bad guys don't get jails or dealt with other than you kill somebody and it was on purpose, you die. That's simple.
Yeah. That's simple.
We don't have time to put up with you. And that makes it really easy to keep control, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah, keep control. Yeah, of those that are there.
It just seems to me if our rules and laws today was more like that, we wouldn't have as much bad stuff happening.
Yeah, it is something to ponder, definitely, and that's what your book, it makes you think. I think that's the thing. The story makes you think about that. So you can get the book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you find books, wherever good books are sold. It's called We Survive Tomorrow. Steve Hunt, thanks for joining us.
All righty, thank you.
It's interesting talking about end-of-the-world kind of things and what worries you. We now see that Putin is talking about the nuclear bombs in Belarus. He says it's really a warning to the West. The first nuclear warheads were delivered to the territory of Belarus on Friday, but only the first one's the first part. And Putin says we're going to do this job completely by the end of the summer or by the end of the year. So this is Moscow's first deployment of these kinds of warheads, shorter range nuclear weapons that could potentially be used on the battlefield outside Russia, since the fall of the Soviet Union was intended as a warning to the West about arming and supporting Ukraine. And it's obviously the U.S. has criticized the decision, but said, you know, we're not going to alter any of our stance on strategic nuclear weapons. And we don't see any signs that Russia's preparing to use a nuclear weapon, but it's being watched closely by Washington and by China, which repeatedly cautioned against the use of nuclear weapons in the war in Ukraine. And this is a concern, right? Ukraine running out of its own military equipment and relying on hardware supplied by the West. It's something that is irking Putin because of the supplies coming from all these other countries. And I think this whole Belarus thing is a way to say, yeah, watch out. Even if it's something that's not intended to happen. It's just the idea that, okay, they're placed there for a reason, people. That's why that's happening. Juneteenth is a day of lots of celebration, but a day on Monday that gyms and stores and restaurants and other businesses could be closed or have reduced hours. What about somebody who celebrates their heritage? Dr. Frank Douglas talks about that aspect next.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insists on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. At least four people are dead after shootings in three different states. Two people were killed and three others are injured after a shooting near the Beyond Wonderland EDM Festival in Washington State. Presidential hopeful Asa Hutchinson is urging fellow Republicans to back off from accusations that the Department of Justice is being weaponized. The former Arkansas governor said the GOP needs to go back to being the rule of law party. The chair of the House Intelligence Committee says China is feeling the heat from the U.S. Speaking on CNN's State of the Union, Republican Congressman Mike Turner of Ohio talked about a bipartisan committee House Speaker Kevin McCarthy formed to deal with the threat of China. The SEC and Binance are agreeing to avoid a full freeze of the platform and keep American customer assets in the U.S. Jerry Barmesh, USA News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Inspiration right now. I got a great shot of inspiration for you, and it comes in the form of this book, Defining Moments of a Free Man from a Black Stream, and it's written by Dr. Frank Douglas. He's in our virtual green room, and he joins us now. Dr. Douglas, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for the invitation.
So, first of all, before we dive into your book, which there's a little bit of an autobiographical thing for sure here, of course, tell us about your story.
Well, I was born in Georgetown, Guyana, which was British Guyana at the time, and to a very, very modest, you would say poor family. And about age 12, I actually converted to evangelism, which I think is what, in a way, changed my life, because at that time, I think I was headed in the wrong direction. And having accepted Christ as my Savior, then I became very involved in the church, and at the same time became really focused on my schoolwork. That led me to become actually a top student in Guyana, placing first in a couple of major national examinations, the result of which brought me to the attention of the U.S. And in 1963, I received a Fulbright scholarship from the U.S. government as an undergraduate to attend Lehigh University, which is where I entered the U.S. in August of 1963, and did my bachelor's in chemistry in the engineering school at Lehigh University. From there, went on to Cornell University, where I did a PhD in physical chemistry and also did a medical degree. Then trained as an internist and neuroendocrinologist. Most of my life, however, I spent in the pharmaceutical industry, where I was either head of research or later for many years the global head of both research and development for large companies such as Aventis, which is now Sanofi. Retired in 2004 and went back to academia and was at MIT for 2 or 3 years.
Wow, what an interesting journey, and incredible those ladders that you climbed from the Fulbright Scholar, which is such an honor, and then Lehigh and Cornell, and you know what you did in the pharmaceutical industry, and then ultimately working at MIT with the brilliant minds there. Was it, take me back to the beginning, was it easy to jump to America? What was that like to go from Guyana to jumping into the United States?
Well, it was a big shock for me. Of course, I was very excited. Didn't really know much about America except, you know, it was the land of opportunity, that there were brilliant people in America and very kind people. But I arrived about 2 weeks before Martin Luther King's March on Washington and was stunned to find the racial animus in America. And remember, 63, Medgar Evers was assassinated later in September. The three young girls in the church in Alabama, you know, were killed. And then I began to face the reality that, you know, the very evangelicals who had come to Guyana and convinced me that becoming an evangelical Christian, we all loved each other, we all would go to heaven, that suddenly I couldn't even attend their churches here in America. So that was really quite a shock for me.
How hard was it to deal with the racism that you face? And do you think it's gotten any better in this country or worse? Or where do you stand on that?
Well, it's fascinating. Initially, I had difficulty. One of the wonderful things, however, is that along my journey, and I mentioned that one of the reasons I wrote the book was also to celebrate, you know, the many individuals who helped me along my journey here. So I had both the good times and the bad times, I must say.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you that as I look back, as I look at what is happening now, I actually think it's worse than it was in 63 when I arrived, because since 63, there have been so many improvements. And then suddenly here we are with this hatred, and some of which is led by evangelicals, actually, or by individuals who claim to be evangelicals, that it is worse. It seems as though a hatred has been released in the country that I did not really see when I was here. There were evidences of individuals, but not this large spirit of hatred. And you know, when I see cases of neighbors, you know, attacking other neighbors because the kids are wearing masks, etc. There's a sudden meanness that I'm finding very difficult to actually harmonize with you know, the thought of America being an advanced country, the thought of America being a Christian country. You know, all of those things, love thy neighbor as thyself, you know, suffer little children to come unto me. All of those things that the evangelicals taught me, I see evangelicals now doing the very opposite. So I think it is worse than it was in 1963.
Yeah. And so as you see the road out of it, what do you think? You're a super educated man. What do you see the road out of this is, the way out?
Well, you know, it is really simple and it's difficult. I think, one, having grown up in a developing country, I will tell you, you know, we recognize cultism when we see it. And Americans have got to simply recognize that right now they are following a cult. And when people are following a cult, there's nothing rational about this. It has nothing to do with educational level. You know, it happens to do with some basic need that is driving people to go into that cult. So that's one. The second thing is that responsible individuals need to speak up. You know, if we have a situation where we're only hearing, you know, one side of this, and others are remaining silent, then they are part of the problem. As we say, you know, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. Mm. So I think more individuals have got to give the other side and speak to our better angels, you know, than to allow, you know, the worst angels to be running the day. And the third thing I will say, which is something that actually I find rather strange, where are our psychologists and social workers and our ministers, the individuals who are the two are trusted leaders? Where are they? They should be speaking up. They should be trying to explain to us, you know, from a social, a psychological perspective, what is happening in the country, and get the dialogue going.
Oh, so well said. Dr. Frank Douglas, this book is fascinating, and there's so much that you talk about in the book. I mean, you talk about being involved in pharmaceutical research for drugs that treat tuberculosis and arthritis and diabetes and seizures and cancer and pulmonary embolism and so much more. Your story is really inspiring. What do you hope people take out of reading your book, Defining Moments of a Free Man from a Black Stream?
Two things. One, as I said in the introduction, particularly for young black kids and brown kids, to not ever let anyone dissuade them from their dreams. That, you know, you can dream, you can be judged, as Martin Luther King said, he hoped his kids would be judged. You can be judged by the content of your character, regardless of what is happening when people see your skin. So do not be dissuaded from pursuing your dreams. That's one. The second thing that I would like people to get from the book is that having a core set of values and sticking to those values and having grit, true grit, to stick to your values, regardless of what the outcome might be, but sticking to your values, that is very important in helping to deal with all of the situations that you might face. And I might add a third, which I mentioned earlier, because I want to say it again, is they are people of goodwill. Regardless of what is going on, you will find that they are people of goodwill. And when you find such individuals, embrace and let them embrace you and celebrate them.
Well, perfect place to end this. Again, I could not agree more with what you said. Hold those people close because they are so, so valuable. Dr. Frank Douglas, congratulations on all your accomplishments and what you're doing with your book. And again, you can get this book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever great books are sold. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
This quite possibly is the greatest name for a book that can have such an impact, not just on children, even though it's a children's book, but I think also on adult and with adults. You could give an adult this book and it would remind them of things to think about, and it would remind them about hugs. The name of the book is Do You Need a Hug? Joanna Perkett is with us. She's in our virtual green room, and she joins us to talk about that here on Author's Corner with me, Kate Delaney, on America Tonight. Joanna, it's great to get a chance to hang out with you. We had a brief conversation before we went on the air, and you have such an interesting background, and I'm going to ask you about that. But what was your motivation to writing this book? What made you write this book?
What made me write the book is today's society is lacking in so many ways, and people need to reach out to other people and respect their environment and be kind to one another, and I think that's the inspiration.
And yeah, and hugs. You know, it's so funny, but I notice when somebody gives me a good hug. Like, there's kind of the hug, you know, like, okay, hey, good to see you. But I have friends that give you these deep, great hugs, and it does leave you with something. So the idea of a hug, and that's what the name of the book is. Why did you name it Do You Need a Hug?
Because everyone could use it. Who wouldn't want a good hug, right? Like, you go out and you reach out to a person, and a good hug gives you just so much joy. I have grandchildren that come in and every morning, and they run over to us, and the first thing you get is a good hug. And how awesome is that? Like, that's a great way to start your day. Or just hugging your husband or anyone. Just make them feel good.
I agree. There's nothing better than a great hug, and obviously you experienced that in your life. You told me a wonderful story before we talk about the book about an encounter you had with a man in the grocery store. Oh, I so think you should share that with everyone. Would you tell everyone that story?
I met this man at some point last year in the grocery store, and he was looking for a sandwich. And I I noticed that he was struggling, and so I says, you know, these grocery stores are so huge these days. There's too much to choose from. What do you think? What do you think you'd like today? And he didn't know what to say, and he told me that his wife passed away, and I asked him what his wife's favorite food was, or sandwich was, and he said tuna, and I says, well, maybe today is tuna day. And so we started talking. The man had just lost his wife a couple of weeks previous, and he was quite sad, and he ended up telling me his story, how they danced lots of times a week, and they went in competitions all over North America. They visited every state and every province in North America. They were married for 63 years, and I told him how I had lost my mother to Alzheimer's, and the two of us hugged one another, and when I left, I knew that he made a difference in my day, and I made a difference in his day, because he had tears in his eyes, we had a big smile on his face.
Wow, I love that story, and that will resonate with him, I think, for a long time. So let's dive into the book. The book, by the way, I'm just going to describe it. This is radio, but a beautiful cover, beautiful young girl on the cover, the illustration, and a great big sunflower. I love sunflowers. So automatically the colors grab you. So tell us about the young girl on the cover and the story.
The young girl on the cover of the story, actually, it kind of describes who I am and what I was like when I was a kid. And, you know, growing up with all the brothers, Mom and Dad would send us out lots of times and say, you know, go over to Mrs. Ballard's and see if she needs a hand with anything. And there was an old Army, World War One Army vet that we had to go over and see if he'd need things. And lots of times, and we were never to ask for money. We always had to do it from the goodness of our heart, which we all did. And it was lots of fun to go see Mrs. Ballard. And lots of times I look back on it now and I think that lady laughed all the time. We must have told her some interesting stories. But we'd go over and we'd ask her if she needed a hand, and we'd have to get her eggs from her hens and bring up coal from the basement and bring wood in for the house. And lots of days she'd give us a cookie or a piece of cake. And then there was other times she'd send us home with a loaf of bread or homemade dinner rolls. It was awesome. And the Army vet, he was, he had to be in his 90s when I was a little girl, and we'd have to muck out his pens. And so we'd muck out his pens, but we made a difference in their day. And the old Army vet would tell us great stories. He had an English accent, and we just loved listening to him, and it was lots of fun. So we make a difference to them, and they make a difference in our lives, and you remember them always.
Yeah, and that's the purpose of the book, right? In the book, you talk about that.
Yes.
And when you sat down to write it, were you thinking of what your life was like you say, really the girls like you?
Yeah, she is like me, but actually the words came to me in the nighttime, and they came to me night after night after night for months, like 9 months, the same words came into my head. And so I really felt I needed to do something with it, and was finally brave enough to write them down.
What do you hope children or even adults take away from reading Do You Need a Hug, which you can get easily on Amazon, it's Kindle or paperback, or you can get it on Barnes & Noble or wherever great books are sold. What do you hope the takeaway is?
What the takeaway would be to just reach out to people, be kind, make a difference in the world, and mostly reach out to people and be real with them.
Oh, I love that. Be real with them. And now more than ever, doesn't it feel like we need that in the world?
Yes, we do, for sure. And also with nature. In the center of the book, there's a page where the girl is hugging a sunflower, and it has a bee on it, and the plant is vibrating because everything in life responds positive to goodness, regardless if it's human or nature or anything. Everything responds well to good energy. And the bee in the story is kind of annoyed, but soon realizes that the girl means no harm and carries on with his work. And the plant vibrates because it knows that something beautiful is happening to it. So it's just a message of taking care of nature and people and love one another.
What a perfect message to leave people with for sure. Does this make you want to write another book?
I have some stories in my mind about some things that I could write about. I think it would be fun to write one about my siblings and myself.
We got to tell everybody about that. Okay, I want everybody in this radio audience to know this about Joanna. She has 7 siblings, and guess what? They're all brothers. They're all brothers. Boy, they must have, number one, really been protective of you, at least some of them. And it must have been just a different experience to grow up with brothers. And you and I talked about hockey, and didn't you have to clean all of their clothes from hockey, which is a lot of gear?
Well, I had to mend all the hockey socks.
Oh!
Nobody would even know how to do that these days. And there's a hole in the hockey sock to get the yarn that matches the sock and stitch it up. That was one of the jobs my dad gave me.
Wow. I absolutely think you should write about this family, because it's what an interesting experience for you. How lucky that you were sandwiched in between all those brothers. I mean, you can tell that you have a massive love for them, and probably was such a fun house to grow up in.
It was a lot of fun to grow up in the house, and I have a good thought about every single one of my brothers, and they're all very different. So it is a beautiful thing.
And you learn something when you have that kind of family, because now the way the world is, too, it's tough to have super big families. But when you grow up in a big family, you learn a lot about, like you said, they all have different personalities. You learn how to deal with different personalities.
That's for sure. Yes. So if I did write a book, I think I would name it Little Joe and the Brothers.
That's right. So that's kind of a takeoff on Little Women. Little Joe and the Brothers. I like that. That's what's coming to my mind, is conjuring up that image. So I bring it back around again. You probably got a ton of hugs when you were a kid, and you still do. And the name of the book is Do You Need a Hug? It's wonderful. You can get Joanna's book, like I mentioned already, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and again, wherever great books are sold. Joanna, thanks so much for sharing your story with us.
All righty. Thank you for listening to me. And if I could hug you, I would.
Same back to you. What a great, great conversation. Thanks for that. And thanks to all of you for listening to this interview and this show. Make it count, everybody.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog, yeah, that's Guinness, he is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, or hit me up on Twitter @KateSDelaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.